and the fantastic job that they do every Sunday. I mean, it takes a lot to be able to do a kid's song and then, you know, hymns and more, you know, worshipful songs, and just to have a lot of fun up here. So appreciate the worship team leading the charge. But I do want to say to all y'all, happy fall, y'all, to you. I do hope that you are enjoying things in the Hudson Valley region this fall. I do want to say, I know we had some great events in the church community yesterday. There was potlucking happening. I heard, I didn't hear anything about that event yet, but I'm sure it was a great time. I don't want to say that I heard anything, but I'm sure it was great. I heard there was some apple picking going on yesterday, some pie making going on as well, and some dessert eating going on as well. And I mean, it is just a fantastic time in the Hudson Valley Church, of course, but also in the Hudson Valley area. So I hope that you're enjoying this time of year. I also want to say that, you know, this is a time of year where some of us start figuring out a costume that we want to wear at the end of the month. Now, not everyone participates in that, and that's okay, and there are some strong beliefs about not participating in that, and I totally respect that. But there are some that do, and they enjoy deciding who to dress up as, the fun that they'll have in putting on that costume and pretending to be that character and watching little kids imitate whatever character they've decided to be. And I just wanted to take a minute quickly to see a show of hands if you've decided on what character you're going to be for Halloween this year. Yeah, have you decided? Do you have your... Okay, Chris Reinhardt with a strong hand up. I totally get that. And a few others as well. We're still in the process of thinking about ours. I will say, probably immediately after last year, our girls decided already who they were going to be for next year. Now, that changed a few hundred times, I think, throughout the year. But they are very confident and sure of who they're going to dress up as this Halloween. And I enjoy thinking about that, one, because, you know, I just enjoy participating in that myself, but also because the Christian life is like that. The Christian life can be summarized by disciples of Jesus taking off a set of garments or clothing or a way of being, a self, an old self, doing away with those things and putting on Christ clothes, putting on a Christ costume to not then take it off later, but to live that way in their lives, living for Jesus, living in Jesus, living through Jesus and by Jesus. That is a great summary of the Christian life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The title of my message today is Growth in Community, Put on Christ. Put on your Christ costume. And so we're going to continue with our series on growth in community as we transition to the second half of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. So I'm going to give you just a quick overview to catch you up to speed in terms of where we are, and then show you and talk about where we're going to go today. And so, you know, Paul begins his letter to the Colossians by talking about the gospel, about the good news of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom of God. And so he sets things up that way, and then he talks about the spiritual battle. And he situates the Colossians within that battle. He says, hey, look, this is a spiritual battle, and here's where you are in that battle. Here are some of the things that I've heard about coming up in terms of the struggles that you're having where you are in the spiritual battle. He then says that, here's a prayer that I have for you. And he says that I'm praying for you to be encouraged and knit together in love, to be a community like that. Why? So that you can grow, but also so that you can stand firm in that battle, so that you can stand firm against knockoff Christianity. as Ryan preached about last week. I mean, that was a temptation and a reality for them back then, but also is a temptation and a reality for us as well, something we need to watch out for. And so as Paul moves into the second half of the letter, he goes right for their hearts. He goes right for their hearts. Essentially, he says, if you are with me on all this stuff that I've said already, about the gospel, about the good news, about having a community like this, about being careful about the spiritual battle and this knockoff Christianity, if you're with me on all that, then center your hearts and your desires on Jesus. Center your lives on him. And he says, once your hearts are in the right place and you have the right attitude about being a disciple of Jesus, then work to take off the things, off the costume that's a part of your old way of living. These evil things, these worthless garments. So that you can put on another set of clothes, so that you can put on Jesus Christ, so that you can put on his nature, his character, his virtues, his way of being, because that is who you are. And that's what Paul says to them. So you can turn with me in your Bibles over to Colossians 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. I mean, I've basically given you the whole sermon already, so I don't know if I really need to say all that much more, but the passages are powerful. So let's go ahead and look at the Word of God as we consider growth in community put on Christ. And as we read these three sections, or this whole section, I see, you know, three different sections within this these verses 1 through 17. So the first section, Paul's talking about desire and seek Christ. Make Christ the center of your life, the center of your heart. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, which also can be translated, set your affection. Set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then this next section here, 5 through 11, is take off the old. Be done with the old ways of being. So he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then this last section, put on Christ. Put on your Christ wardrobe. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Big amen to that. I mean, a lot of powerful teaching and encouragement and admonishment from Paul. But again, this first section where Paul, you know, he wants to make sure they have their hearts in the right place. So I call this section Desire and Seek Christ. Paul essentially is saying here, since you have been raised with Christ. So what is Paul talking about? Paul was talking about the reality of the resurrection. You see, at that point, Jesus had lived his life. He had died on the cross for their sins. He'd been raised to life for their lives, for their eternal life, and had ascended into heaven where he sat at the right hand of God. And so Paul was saying, look, this is a reality. The resurrection is a reality. And the early church believed that and had strong convictions around that. And we've got to remember that today, too. Because if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be disciples, that's where our Christianity rests upon, is the reality of the resurrection. He said, so, if you've been raised with Christ, and what he's talking about is Christ had resurrected, but as you've been united with Christ, right, united with Christ through repentance, baptism, and belief in Jesus, in that process, they had been united with Christ, and so therefore they had been raised with Christ. So if that was their reality, Paul was saying, set your heart, or the source of their lives, Proverbs 4:23, which essentially are your desires, their affection, their intention on where Christ is, who is your life. So Paul was saying, look, Christ is in heaven at the right hand of God. You've been raised with him, then set your hearts and your minds and your seeking on where Christ is, above the lower earthly domain, the earthly worldly dimension. And Paul, you know, essentially was saying that when someone's heart is there with Christ, they will seek what is above, and that's what Paul was encouraging. In other words, Paul was saying, look at the earth, this life from a heavenly perspective, because that's essentially where your life is. You have been united with Christ. And he says, you're there, your life was there secretly. Talks about that as being hidden with Christ. It wasn't hidden from them. It wasn't, their life wasn't hidden from themselves or the early church community. It was hidden from the world. The world didn't understand that. But he's like, look, your life is there. That's where you are. That's your hidden life. It will be revealed to all in glory when Christ returns. And they held so strongly to that conviction that Christ was coming back and that they would be revealed in his glory because he is their life. And so Paul, I love how he starts it out that way, because he has this other stuff in mind, this putting off and taking off and putting on, but he's like, your hearts have to be in the right place. You have to be seeking the right things. Because if they would do that, then they would take off the old. And that's this next section, 5 through 11. And Paul uses this image of putting off one set of clothes so they can put on another set. But he uses very strong language in this first section where he's saying put off. He actually doesn't even say put off. He says kill off or mortify. Mortify those old things. Those things were a part of your former way of being. And he uses that strong language because he wanted them to have a strong attitude about taking off their old selves. He says, in a sense, don't just put it off, take them off, throw them away, mortify them, or kill them off. It's almost like he had in mind this old way of being where like wild animals coming after them, wanting to kill them. And he's like, if you don't kill them off, then they're going to kill you off and the people around you spiritually. So he says, kill them off. And he begins that list with sex beyond the limits of a married man and woman. And so he's talking about sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed. And you know, all those sins have their own sort of little, you know, characteristics about them. But essentially, you can summarize all of those in sex beyond the limits of a married man and a woman. And that was, and still is, a major moral challenge. And in fact, in that time, only the Jews and Christians lived that way, where they maintained sex in the context of a marriage. I mean, that's how they lived. And as the world around them didn't live that way, I mean, my understanding is that the world around them didn't even believe that was possible. And so when they saw Jews and Christians living that way, they were shocked. They were in disbelief. But Paul's like, you got to put that stuff to death. You may have had a conviction about that at one time, but you've got to live that way. You've got to make every effort to live that way. And then this next section of sins that he lists talks about anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. We're in the area of speech. Now let me say a little bit more about that. See, Paul realized the difficulty in relationships. The difficulty in different people from different cultures, different backgrounds, coming together and living in this tight-knit community. He recognized that challenge. And he specifically talks about, you know, as he lists these sins, he's after this way of being with one another. He's like, you got to be done away with anger for one another, wrath towards one another, malice, slander, talking about people in a bad way behind their backs. He's like, do away with that stuff. And of course, we know that starts in the heart. But out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to highlight that because I think that's so important for all of us in the room to remember. That's how we just need to be careful with that, with each other. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so he reminds the Colossians, you have taken off that set of clothes, and he's referring to baptism, and you've put on a new set of clothes, which is renewed in the image of the Creator. So he's talking about this image of God, which was originally why people were designed. People were originally designed and created to be like God. So he's referring to Genesis 1 there. And also there's some reference to Colossians 1. But he's like, that's your nature. And in baptism, through repentance and baptism and belief, you have been made new. So live that way. That's what Paul's after. And I love how he's like, there's no Greek or Jew, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. There's no cultural distinctions within the community of God. Of course, we all have these beautiful things that we bring into the church community that are part of our church and are part of our cultural background and who we are. And that's beautiful when those things can come together and we can live in community. But Paul's like, don't focus on what separates you and divides you. You are a community of love, tightly knit together in love. So then he says, so you take off that stuff and you put on Christ. He says, hey, look, you're holy and dearly loved. That's your identity. That's who you are. So let me answer this question for you. If you've taken off certain clothes, what clothes should you put on? What costume, what garments should you put on? And in answering that question, Paul begins with compassion and kindness. Compassion being inward affection or tender mercy. And kindness we can think of as just a gentle way of being. And I think he's very intentional about starting off that way because the whole gospel is about the compassion and kindness of the Heavenly Father. The compassion and kindness of God. You see, the world clearly thinks God is bothered by what people do and who people are. But Paul thinks compassion and kindness are primary Christian virtues because that's how Christ is. That's who God is. And then he gets into this other section here where he talks about forgiveness. I mean, he spends a couple of verses here just on forgiveness, because forgiveness is so basic to being a Christian. It's so basic, but it's so incredibly difficult. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, it just is, right? Again, different people with their stuff and our baggage coming together and just in trying to love one another. It's challenging. And sometimes forgiveness can only be done through prayer and fasting and meditation and, you know, coming back and praying some more and trying to love again, but then coming back, and it may take a few weeks, it may take a few months, it may even take a few years, but we've got to keep trying. We've got to put all of our effort into that, because that's part of being new creation people. It's part of being Christ's ambassadors in the world. N.T. Wright, a New Testament scholar, in a lecture series on Colossians, had this to say about forgiveness. I was super challenged by this, so I hope it challenges you too. The door that we open to let God's forgiveness in must be the same door that opens to let our forgiveness out to others. If we close the one, then we probably close the other. If we close the one, then we probably close the other. And then Paul identifies love. Love, love, love. It's the one that holds everything, all the other virtues together in perfect harmony. And love means caring for one another like family. It means being primarily concerned about the good, the well-being, and the health of the person right next to us. That's our primary concern as Christians, is the good of the person right next to us. It should be like having one big second family. Paul was especially concerned with unity in the church, not uniformity, unity. And he says, the peace of the Messiah must rule in your hearts. Paul was saying, in a sense, let peace be the deciding factor in your heart. And so lastly, I love the way that he concludes this section of teaching, because in one sense, there is this individual responsibility that Paul's after. And so this making your heart, sure your heart's in the right place and taking off and putting on. But then he talks about the process in community by which this happens. And he's very clear on this. He talks about teaching and admonishing one another. He wanted the church in Colossae to teach and admonish one another. He wanted everyone to be learning from one another. And of course, some of us have the gift of teaching. But then he talks about in the church community, we need to be teaching and admonishing one another. That's a gift in a way that we all have. That we're all learning from Christ, and we need to be passing that on to others. If they were to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit to one another. And I'm just still waiting for that to happen in the church community. Is it someone just to come up to me and just start singing a spiritual song? And I'm sure that after this service, people might avoid me because I just don't have a voice of Shirley or even of Ryan or anybody else in here. I got an amen to that by Iris, amen, but I don't want you to sing to me either, so. I'm kidding. But it's a beautiful image, though, there, that just singing to one another and teaching and admonishing one another. And he says, whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus. We are, and they were to be, Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Paul wanted them to ensure that everything that was done and said and thought about was carried out with Jesus in mind. Amen to that. You know, the process described here, again, summarizes beautifully the disciple of Jesus' journey. I mean, that really is the journey, which I mentioned before is illustrated nicely in getting dressed up in a costume or some kind of outfit, right? And so I like, you know, thinking about this Halloween season during that time, but I also want us to just, you know, think about the costume that you put on, the outfit that you put on, the garments that you put on, really depends on the occasion. And our attitude towards that occasion dictates the effort to which we put into putting that costume on and how we put it on. Because the reality is that if you're going to go to the prom, you got to put on a nice tuxedo. You gotta look sharp. You know, you gotta fix up and look sharp. So I'll give you a little bit about this. So this is my senior prom. Four of my buddies up there, looking fresh. But also, you know, if you're gonna do that, you gotta put your tuxedo on. If you're gonna march in the marching band and play snare drum with your sister playing saxophone, you gotta put on your marching band outfit, which has a few different pieces there. So yeah, my sister and I in the marching band. If you're gonna be the celebrity bat boy for the greatest baseball team in history, you got to put your Yankees shirt on. So that's circa like 1990 or something like that with Greg Catterae. I was a celebrity bat boy for a game, so I got to hang out with the Yankees, and that was a lot of fun. Big win by the Yankees last night. Anyway, just wanted to slide that in there. You know, and if, speaking of baseball, you know, if you're going to win the Little League Championship and your dad's the coach, you got to put on your red McDonald's t-shirt. Look at that stash. Look at my dad's stash there. Isn't that a pretty sweet mustache? That was like circa 1985 or something, you know, something like that. If it's picture day in pre-K, you got to put your best maroon sweatsuit on for picture day. Oh, yeah. Not bad. Nice chair, yeah. Terry's in. Nice chair. Where can I get that? Isn't that heavy? Like, doesn't that just look like heavy? And then, if your parents are dragging you to the Christmas party next door, you got to put on your red tiger-looking ugly Christmas sweater with a big fake smile on as well. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could find that, because I would totally wear that to an ugly sweater Christmas party. But I didn't burn it. Oh man, is it that bad? Okay. But you know, as we think about these different occasions, especially you know this time of year, with Halloween coming up, but also not far from there, we have Christmas coming up. We have these garments, these ways of dressing to celebrate these occasions, and so we take off, you know, a certain set of clothes, and we put on another set of clothes. And the reality for us is that if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, then you have to put Christ on. You have to put all of Christ on. You know, and some of us walk around with our Christ hats on. But what about the rest of the wardrobe? Right? What about the rest of the garments? We got to put all of Christ on. We can't be satisfied with just, well, I'm like Christ in this way. We've got to put all of Jesus on. Because if you've been raised with the Messiah, then set your hearts on him. Make him your desire. Make him your aim and your intention. Allow that to motivate the taking off of your old clothes, the old self, your old ways of being and thinking, and put on Christ's compassion, his kindness, his humility, which can be challenging, right? His gentleness, patience, his forgiveness, which can be challenging as well. His love, allowing the peace of him to rule and reign in your hearts in being thankful. And the fact is that we're never going to fully put Christ on if we approach putting Christ on like we do getting dressed in the morning, right? Where we sort of lazily roll out of bed, you know, eyes half closed, slowly get one sock on and look around, you know, for the other sock and you know, get that one on and then figure out something else to wear and, you know, slowly and lazily go through that process. Because the fact is that some of us approach Christianity like that. Well, this isn't part of my character right now. And I mean, do I really need to put on humility? And do I really need to forgive this person? And do I really need to put off speaking poorly about this person? And do I, you know, they really hurt me and they really upset me and they really deserve me to stay away from them or to say these bad things about them. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And we need to approach the process of putting Christ on with the same effort and determination that Jesus displayed in going to the cross. Because remember, all that pain and suffering, all that selflessness was done so that you could put him on. So that we all could put him on. I just wanted to say a couple of things really quickly about the small groups that we've initiated in the church here, in the Hudson Valley Church. And so if you're visiting with us, we recently transitioned over to meeting in small groups that we're calling life groups. And life groups are disciples coming together and talking about our lives and really how we can engage in this process together of getting our hearts in the right place, of taking off the old ways of being and putting on Christ. I mean, that's really what it's about. And as we come together in these small groups, there is something about being together that just sets our hearts in the right place, right? Just being in the room sometimes with other Christians just helps us to get our hearts in the right place. It helps us desire and seek Christ when we know we're going to be meeting together and when we're together. And it helps us, we can help each other take off certain things in our nature and in our character. And part of that process is just being vulnerable and just exposing, hey, here's what's going on with me. Here's what happened with me this week. And the encouragement from Paul is important. Don't lie to one another, right? Colossians 3, verse 9, don't pretend like nothing happened this week or you don't have anything going on in your life that's challenging. And look, there are some times in life where there just aren't many challenges. Amen to that. Right? We got to enjoy the sweet spot. So I'm not saying go out and look for something, you know, challenging you need to make up. No, don't lie to one another. But we've got to talk about those things. We've got to talk about what we want to put on. What are the virtues of Christ you are aiming for? And if someone were to come up to you now in service, well, after service, and ask you, what virtue are you trying to put on? We need to be ready with an answer. We need to be ready with, well, here's what I'm working on, and here's how I'm working on that thing. That's the attitude that Paul is talking about and encouraging in this letter to the church in Colossae. And, you know, I appreciate Javier so much for his communion message today. It was phenomenal. And it's just really amazing how it synced up with what I wanted to mention here today, and you know, Javier and I didn't talk about it, but the Spirit works that way. Because I did want to talk a little bit about the Christian Life Profile Assessment. So it's a spiritual maturity assessment that was sent out that everybody was to take, and for the most part, everybody has taken it. If you haven't, today's the last day. It's going to close out today, so if you're a member here and you haven't taken it yet, then I encourage you to do that. But that assessment is meant to reveal things that you may not be thinking about or may not be aware of that are a part of your life, that are strengths, and to continue to work on those, but also these areas of weakness that you can focus on and try to grow in. And I hope that you put the time and effort into taking it and also reflecting on it. So this past week was an opportunity for us in our small groups to look at our assessment results, look at the feedback we got, and just reflect on that and think about that and determine, here's where I want to grow. Here are the strengths that I want to focus on. Here are the weaknesses that I want to grow in. And, you know, to tie it into the message today, it's a tool to help us reveal what we need to take off in the practices that we can engage, because there's a discipline part of that, those practices that we can engage to put virtues of character or characteristics of Christ on. And the same virtues that are measured in that assessment are the virtues that are talked about in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And I think what's interesting about those virtues is they're all community-based virtues, right? Compassion, kindness, forgiveness, love. So these are all characteristics and virtues that we practice in community. And these small groups are a great place for us to do that. But these small groups are also an important place where we can live out Colossians 3:16 and teach and admonish one another to grow in community. I mean, that's what Paul is talking about. And that's one of the reasons why we transitioned over to this way of doing things, of being the church, so that we can teach and admonish one another, so that we can help one another with these things in our lives that we need to put off and we need to kill off and we need to be done away with, and help us put on these other virtues that we need to grow in. And that happens as we talk about them, as we pray for one another, and as we teach and admonish one another. So I hope that it's been a positive experience so far for you. But I know that there can be challenges with coming together in a small group like that. There can be trust issues that we have in those small groups. And, you know, I've been having different conversations with people around that issue, and I get that too. I have my baggage from relationships in the past that I've been burned, and so it can be hard to come together in community in a way where I'm vulnerable and just exposing things, and I can feel that reluctance. But I'm not going to let this other stuff that happened in the past hold me back from being knit together in love with my church community. I'm not going to allow those things to do that. So I'm going to work to trust. I'm going to work to be vulnerable. I'm going to work to be open. Because I want to grow, but I want the people around me to grow too. And so I want us to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to grow in community in our small groups. I also want to say, you know, if you're visiting with us today, if this is your first time out, or if you've been out several times and, you know, you are still in the visitor category and you're just a bit curious or maybe very curious about this whole process of taking off and putting on, then I encourage you to find someone that you feel safe with, that you feel like you could be close to, or maybe you are close to, and ask them to help you with that journey, with the journey and the experience of knowing Christ. And I also want to encourage our members. If you're here today as a disciple of Jesus and you're a member here, and you see people that are visitors, that have been around, coming around for some time, to just ask them if they'd like to know more about Jesus. If they'd like to, you know, get to study the Bible a little bit more and learn about who Jesus is and understand how to put him on. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, the visitors and members asked each other and they, like, didn't even realize it? They're just like, oh, hey, I want to know more. I want to help you. Okay, great. but I encourage you to take advantage of that today. So I'm going to conclude with being very practical. Okay, some practical challenges and some encouragement for you this week. So I want you to take out your calendars or a piece of paper, something along those lines. And I want you to pick an hour chunk of time this week. And I know that's a lot. And, you know, and I get it, especially those that work and have families. I know that's a lot. But I want you to pick out an hour chunk of time. If you can't devote an hour, then at least half an hour. Okay, so I'll give you a range. I won't be, you know, too legalistic about this. But between a half an hour and an hour. And I want you to pick out that time and label it as reflection time. Okay, reflection time. Some point this week. And here are a few things that I want you to do in that reflection time. I want you to begin with examining your heart. Search your heart. And in prayer, just figure out where your desires are in terms of Jesus. What place does Jesus have in your heart? So take that reflection time and just devote it to searching out your heart and refocusing on Jesus. And then I want you to, through that reflection, think about one thing from this list that Paul was talking about to take off this week. What's one thing that you want to take off this week? And hopefully you've been thinking through that with the assessment feedback, but think about one thing you want to take off this week. If for me, I want to take off anger this week. And that may surprise you, because you might think, you know, do you ever get angry? But internally, I can. I can feel anger in certain situations. And of course, you know, the feeling of anger isn't the issue. It's how we handle the anger, how we respond to the anger. That's the issue. So that's what I want to take off this week. But I'm going to spend some time reflecting on that. And then I want you to think about and pick one thing to put on this week. And engage the disciplines that help you do that. Fasting, meditation, prayer, journaling, and certainly talking. And so I want you to make your life group aware of these things. Here's what I want to take off this week, and here's what I want to put on this week. And as a bonus practical, I want to encourage us to engage people that haven't heard the gospel yet or may want to know more. Who's somebody in your life, and you can write their name down, somebody in your life who you'd like to help to get to know Jesus? And maybe you have someone in your life, so how can you help them more so? And I just wanted to put up this list here. I know it's kind of cut off, but this just lists out, here's what Paul says to mortify or kill off. And here's what he says to put on. So put off sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language, lying, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, gratitude. So that just, you know, narrows it down. That's what you're thinking about this week. And I hope you approach this with a great heart, a great attitude, and lots of effort. Because putting on Christ is simultaneously the greatest challenge, yet the most fulfilling thing we can do in life. It's simply living a life of love. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to be the authentic church that Jesus envisioned and is calling us to, then let each of us put effort into centering our hearts and desiring Christ. Let's put effort into taking off the worldly nature and put on Christ. Let's help each other grow. Let's help each other in putting on our Christ clothes, and let's reach out to and invite those that haven't, that can enter into the kingdom of light. You know, on Halloween, kids dress up in different costumes, and they run around their neighborhoods, they pretend to be like the characters they've dressed up as. But imagine if this year, we all put our Christ costume on. We put on Christ fully and helped our neighbors do the same. Imagine if every person in the Hudson Valley, not just the church, if every person in the Hudson Valley put Christ on, imagine what our area of New York would be like. You see, this is the vision of God and His Son Jesus. Let it be our vision as well. Amen, and thank you. Thank you.